The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. What's happening, everyone? Welcome back to CPA Reviewed, the official podcast of Another71.com. I am your humble host, as always, Jeff Elliott, a licensed CPA in the state of Kansas. Welcome back, where we make the CPA exam far, far, far more exciting than it was ever intended to be. Happy Monday to you. Today is Monday, March 11th, 2013. Hope everyone had an excellent weekend. For those of you who only tune into Twitter, you would think that scores were released today, because that's when NASBA tweeted today that the scores were released, right? Yay! Actually, scores came out on Friday. But if you are a faithful follower of the another71.com forum, you already knew that. So happy score release, happy belated score release to everyone. I hope all of your hopes and dreams came true and that you got that coveted 75 or better. And if you did not, then you are in good company, because over half of the people will fail that section and only 25% of the people pass the CPA exam the first time. Your humble host is not one of them. So if you need help with the CPA exam, go to another71.com, go to the forum, or click in the upper right-hand corner, click Ask Jeff. And your question will appear in a future edition of Ask the Ninjas or a podcast. So, all right. Well, on today's show, we do two formats here. Number one, we have the call-in element. If you call in and you call in the podcast and leave a message, you stand a very good chance of winning a Ninja 10-point combo or an audio or something. And trying to think. Well, today we got four people that called in, and then we have a slew of questions for the podcast. And I was thinking, you know what? Normally I give away one 10-point combo. Today I am going to give away two. So, and everyone else gets a Ninja audio as well. How about that? So, if you're one of the people that sent in a question, well, I guess I didn't do a very good job of building it up, but you all win a 10-point combo. Yay! So, wait, no, sorry. Back that up. Whoop. Two of you win a 10-point combo. Well, I guess there's some suspense because I didn't say which two. So, never mind. All right. I retract and redact that last statement. All right. Let's get to the first call. The first call is from Katie. She is a moderator on the another71.com forum. She goes by the handle MCL. No. Oh, man. I'm drawing MCLKT. There we go. Whew, I about blew that one. All right. Let's see what Katie has to say.
Hey, Jeff. This is Katie, and I have a question for your next podcast. When a candidate has more than one exam to pass, what is the best way to juggle waiting for a score, scheduling new exams, and retaking exams that we failed or that may have expired? Thanks for your advice. Bye.
Well, first I can say that Katie is not a winner of a 10-point combo because she already has it. And she just from stalking the forum over the weekend, I know that Katie added 11 points to her financial account. And reporting score went from a 74 to an 85. And that's after going from a 73 to a 97 on auditing. So, congratulations, Katie. All right, so when you get your score back, and again, you ask this question while you're waiting for scores, but for anyone who's waiting for a score and you don't know whether to, like Katie was waiting for her financial score. So, the question is, and she still has regulation and BEC to take. So, when you're waiting for your score, what do you do? Do you move on to the next section, or do you, like for instance for Katie, do you go back and keep working multiple choice questions on FAR and staying fresh? And My answer is I would move on to the next section and start because, you know, let's say it takes the AICPA, whatever, 3 weeks to get your score back. Well, that's 3 weeks of study time that you've killed either by waiting around or by going back and studying an exam section that you've really already passed. And also, secondly, let's say that Katie had failed financial accounting and reporting. She would have to go back from the beginning and start over because people who cut corners and just kind of do a cram or something after failing, you really put yourself in the danger of actually scoring lower than you did because right now, like let's say you scored a 74. Let's see, Katie's first attempt with FAR, she scored a 74. She was not, after she got her score back, she was not one, quote, point away from passing FAR. She was 75 points because you're not, at that point, you're not exam ready. You need to go back, cover everything, cover the material from start to finish again. Don't cut corners. And then if you fail like she did, she incorporated the 10-point combo. And in addition to doing what she did before with her review course, she also added in the Wiley Test Bank, or I actually think she already had the Wiley Test Bank, but the Ninja Notes and Ninja Audio, you incorporate those into your studies. So the whole point of that is move on to your next section and start studying for your next section. So for instance, regulation, which she's taken mid-May. Move on to your next section and get ready for that next exam. Because if you get that failing score for the other one that you're waiting on, you have to make a choice. Am I going to go back and restudy, like in this instance for FAR, or am I, you know, I'm 3 weeks into reg, maybe I should just keep going and study for another 3 to 4 weeks, hit reg, and then go back to FAR. So whatever you do, I would just move on to the next section and pretend and set your mind that you're just going to take that next section. So Katie, thank you as always for all that you do on the forum. And you're a really big help. Thanks a lot. All right, next up is Christian.
Yeah, hi there, Jeff. My name's Christian Braithwaite. I actually just posted on your Facebook page trying to convince you to let me win a free 10-point combo. But all mooching aside, I actually do have a question. I posted it on the forum as well and got some good feedback, but I've been studying for 2 months straight. I took BEC the beginning of January, and I took auditing the end of February, and I study about 30 hours a week, and it takes its toll on you. So I'm wondering what you do to kind of stay fresh. It requires a lot of memory, a lot of thinking, and it kind of wears my brain out. What do you suggest to kind of stay fresh remain capable of being able to memorize and learn everything that's necessary to pass the section? So your insight would be greatly appreciated. I enjoy the podcast and the forum, everything you do. Thanks. Bye.
And Christian is a winner of a Ninja 10-point combo. Why is it called the Ninja 10-point combo? Well, when people fail a section of the CPA exam, use their same review course, but add a 10-point combo. Actually, it's the elements within the 10-point combo. The Ninja Notes, Ninja Audio, Ninja Flashcards, and the Wiley Test Bank. I ran a poll back in August of 2012. Had over 1,200 responses. On average, people who failed use the same course, but added Ninja Notes, Audio, and Wiley Test Bank. They averaged an increase of 10 points on their exam score and a 75% pass rate, which is pretty good because the average, the pass rate for any given session is 50%, give or take. So, congrats, Christian. You get the 10-point combo. Send me an email, jeff@another71.com. Let me know what section you want. I will shoot that over to you. Congratulations. So, but you had a question. How do you stay motivated? How do you stay mentally fresh while you're going through the exam? Because a lot of people, like me, I took the exam after I had left public accounting, which is kind of backwards because I started in public accounting. I did not have my 150 hours yet. So really was the point of taking the exam right if I didn't want to work in public accounting? Well, there's a million different reasons why you would want to do that. Number one, passing the most difficult professional exam on the planet, that's a pretty cool thing to add to your resume. You get an accounting degree, and why don't you go on and pass a CPA exam? I mean, sure, you have your bachelor's degree, but really the pinnacle of being an accountant is passing the CPA exam. It's not getting a master's in taxation. It's not getting a master's in accountancy. Those things are great, but those things without that CPA certificate, they lose a little bit of their luster. So how do you stay motivated? Well, number one, you have to figure out why do you want to do it? Even if you don't want to be a CPA, even if you don't want to protect the public interest, even if you don't want to prepare another 940, 941, 1040, 1120, 1120S, even if you never want to ever do that again, it really is a cool thing to do for your career, for your resume, for your LinkedIn profile. By the way, if you want to hit me up on LinkedIn, I think my LinkedIn name is another 71. I'm not sure what the URL is, but it's something slash another 71. Hit me up, add me. I don't require that you know my email address or anything like that. So figure out why. It's pretty basic. Why do you want to pass a CPA exam? Is it because your boss wants you to? Well, that's a good reason, but that's not going to get you up at 5:30 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning to study. Is it because your spouse wants you to do it? That's not going to keep you in over lunch break and sacrifice instead of going down the street and grabbing a bite with the boys or the girls. I had a buddy who used to go out to his car and study during lunch just to get away from the distractions. Is it because your dad wants to? Your dad's a CPA and you want to live up to your dad's expectations. That's not going to have you that's not going to force you to cancel your cable or your satellite subscription for a year so you can study. It has to be for you. If someone tells you that they want you to lose weight, you're not gonna adjust your caloric intake. No, if you decide that you want to slim down, that you want to get healthier, then you will take the necessary steps to do it. It has to be your goal. It cannot be someone else's. But figure out what's that number one thing you want to do. If you lose motivation, then pick something out like in the $1,000 price range. Make it $3,000, because that's what some of you are out there dropping on review courses, $3,000. make it $1,000 to $3,000, something that's worth shooting for, and make a picture of it, you know, print it out or whatever, tape it to your mirror, and when I get the final passing score, I am going to go out and buy this and reward myself. For me, it was a Traeger grill. So I actually did not buy the Traeger grill right away. I felt so guilty because my wife had sacrificed so much to watch the kids. Cue the sad violins. I actually bought my wife some jewelry instead. I went on and got the grill later. Anyway, I felt like she deserved it more than I did. So that's how you stay motivated. Figure out why you, Christian, you want to pass the CPA exam. That's it. All right, let's do next question.
Hi, Jeff. My name is Cinema Fitzpatrick, and I have a question you can possibly answer in your video podcast. My question is regarding the node board. That was new information for me. I read on one of the blogs in your websites. If you could elaborate a little bit on that, it would be great. I am taking FAR April 1st, so I'd like to know about the procedure.
All right, well, a lot of people have questions about these new note boards, and essentially I think the biggest reason for doing it was supposedly it was increased security and to help the environment. So I guess it makes sense to not kill a bunch of trees if you don't need to. But as far as increased security, I mean, come on, they already scan your thumbprint. They have a camera on you and they record your audio. Plus, you have to turn in your stuff anyway, but whatever. So, but how do they work? Okay. From what I've seen, it's a laminated, double-sided, 8.5 by 11 deal, and you get these fine-tipped markers. So they're not, it's not like a dry erase deal. Apparently they're real thin and you cannot erase them. And the key tip from what I've seen other people say is if you fill one up, go ahead and raise your hand and ask for another one before you fill the second one up. Because one person said it took the proctor 5 minutes to get in there with and get them a new note board because they were helping someone else or whatever. But is this something that you need to worry about? No. I made minimal markings on my scratch paper when I was taking the exam. It's not a huge deal. Just know ahead of time that if you need a second one, plan accordingly. Don't wait till you have that second one filled up. But don't sweat the note boards. There's plenty of other things to worry about on exam day, like not forgetting your NTS or your two forms of ID. And Zori is up next.
Hi, Jeff. It's Zori Tomogaro. I'm a Facebook follower on another71.com. My question is, are test of controls required for all audits of non-issuers? Why or why not? Thank you for taking the time out to listen to our questions. And I hope I'm the winner of that 10-point combo. I really need it. Bye. Thanks.
Yes, yes, yes. And Zori is the winner of the second Ninja 10-point combo. Congratulations, Zori. Again, shoot me an email, jeff@another71.com. And I would ship that out to you, but we ninjas don't do shipping. It comes to you automatically. You buy the Wiley Test Bank, boom, automatically. Ninja Notes, Ninja Audio, Ninja Flashcards, boom, automatically. All right. So, question is about testing controls for a non-issuer. For a non-issuer, you don't have to test the controls. You have to understand the controls. The caveat is if they hire you to test the controls, then obviously you have to. But what about if it's an issuer? Do you have to test the controls? Well, what if control risk is assessed to be at maximum? You can't rely on the, which means that you can't rely on the controls, and so you have to bump up your substantive testing. So does it make any sense to spend a lot of hours, man hours and time, testing something that you're not going to rely upon anyway? No. So you have to understand the controls. You don't have to test them. Now, if control risk is set below maximum, then the more that you rely on the controls, the more trustworthy they are, the fewer substantive tests you have to do. I hope that helps explain it. All right, now it's time for some rapid fire. You can send a question, go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, and click Ask Jeff, and it will appear in a future edition of this podcast. So when we finish questions, we are at 18 minutes on the podcast. I want to keep this pretty short and sweet today, keep it under 25 minutes. So I'm going to go through as many questions as I can in 5 minutes or less. Here we go. Norma says, I have 2012 study material from my video course and Wiley and the 2013 Ninja Notes. I'm planning to take all four parts this year. Do you think I can get away with using the 2012 videos and Wiley material versus purchasing 2013 material? Well, you have the 2013 Ninja Notes, so you're good to go there. You have the Wiley Test Bank, you're good to go there. Yes, I would say that you're good with your 2012 videos. I would knock out auditing first because the clarified auditing standards become testable July 1st. So knock those out first. The Ninja Notes will be updated for that, so you still probably don't have to buy a video course, but just get auditing out of the way. Randy says, what recommendations do you have for preparing for the tax preparer and ethics related questions on Reg. I would not watch those videos in your review course. If they have a handout, I'd read that. I would read the ninja notes over that section, and I would work a ton of multiple choice questions. That's really the way to learn it. Maggie says, do you know with the audit reporting standards that are changing, do you know when the audit reporting standards are changing for auditing? Yes, July 1st. So you have your April, May exams, you have your down month, which is June, and then the exam will start testing the clarified statements on auditing standards July 1st. Brian says, I didn't do all that great on Reg. I think the problem I had was reading the chapters too much and not working the questions enough. Back up there. If you're paying a review course $1,500 to $3,000, why are you reading the book? That's their job to tell you what's in the book. You can read the book yourself. All right, let's go. Would it be a good idea if I focused all of my energy on your ninja notes, flashcards, and multiple choice questions and shy away from the textbook? Ninja notes, flashcards, yes. Don't read the textbook. Watch your videos instead and work a ton of multiple choice questions. Hershey says, I'm preparing for FAR and planning to sit for the test in May, but now I'm thinking I should do audit now since it's going to change in July. Good idea. Very good idea. Shauna says, is there a complete IRC database online similar to the one in the exam software other than the one available on the AICPA sample test site? No, there's not. And really, you just need to know how to do the research. So I would not work a ton of multiple, or even if you work simulations, I wouldn't mess around with the research component. Just know how to work it on the AICPA website. Adam says, I studied my butt off for auditing using my video course and the Wiley Test Bank. I came out of the exam feeling like I got every question correct. I could not have felt more confident on the exam and the material. I got my score and I ended up with a 71. I am in complete and utter shock. Have you heard of this before? I feel like my exam was switched with someone else's. Adam, I'm sorry to hear that, and you're not alone in feeling like that. I think probably what happened was you felt confident because you started out on the medium testlet, and then your other two testlets were on medium difficulty, which is why it didn't feel like they were just really squeezing you with these tough questions. It felt like more of a breeze. That sounds like a recipe for a 71. If you get in there and you're like, oh man, these are like testlet two and testlet three, you're like, what are they doing? That's a good sign that you're doing well. If you're just coasting, then that's a bad sign. If you're going through there and it's like, man, these are tough but doable, then that's a good sign. If you're coasting, that's a bad sign. Silly says, I need to send my resume to one of the big four, but I haven't started taking the exam yet. Should I put the name of my review course in my resume? No. Put that you're a CPA candidate. They will hook you up with a review course. Andrew says, I failed regulation for the second time. The simulations are killing me. What do I do to improve in the sims? Number one, you have to know the concepts for the simulations. If you don't know the concepts, then you're not going to do well in the sims. Number two, I would practice the sims. I'd practice maybe just shoot for practicing five sims. You could practice 10 regulation sims and get none of them on exam day. So I would practice some, but it's really the simulations are an extension of your proficiency of the concepts that are tested on the multiple choice testlets. So you have to lock those down. Michelle says, it's been a long time since I've taken the exam. I'm very nervous about starting this again. I don't remember the information about the new format for each part. I also don't know when the scores are coming out. I feel like I'm a student with an old past. Please give me your advice on how to begin. If you want to know when scores are coming out, go to the another71.com forum. That is probably the most informational place in all of cyberspace. And I'm not even the person administering the test. And it's not because of anything I do. It's because the people who deal with score release stuff, they don't release the information in real time. They tweet it or whatever, like a day after it's happened. So if you want to know when stuff happens or when, if you don't know when stuff is happening in real time, go to the another71.com forum, because there's thousands of people on there, and the first person who gets their score, they just shout it out, and everyone's like, then everyone goes and checks their score, and boom, all of a sudden everyone has their score, and everyone's telling the world. So back in the old days, you had three testlets, for all four exams, and then auditing, financial, and regulation had two simulations, and each simulation had a written communication. Now, each exam still has the three testlets, but only BEC has the written communications. And regulation, auditing, and financial, they have the simulation still. They have six, instead of two sims, you have one big sim with like six or seven tabs. And that's how it's changed. Really, really nothing has changed just structurally. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's the same type of exam, just a little bit of tweaks there. But nothing for you to worry about. What you do need to worry about is knowing the concepts and then adjust your application of the concepts to the question. All right, that's 25 minutes. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. Thanks for calling in. Hey, call in, and I don't even check another71.com for the podcast number. I don't even have it here in front of me. Call in. You'll stand a good chance of winning the 10-point combo. And or send me a question, ask Jeff. Go to another71.com, click Ask Jeff, and I will answer it in a future edition of the podcast, or Ask the Ninjas. And hit me up on Facebook. We just passed 20,000 likes on Facebook. And thank you, everyone. Oh, and have a good one. Take care.